Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real-life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at ritaschulte.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. At some point in her life, a woman will take time to reflect and reevaluate her accomplishments, her challenges, and what she values as important. This often occurs around midlife when her children are grown or there's a major life change, such as a death of a family member, a divorce, or job loss. Author and speaker Poppy Smith believes women should welcome midlife with a positive attitude, recognizing it's their time to launch into greater personal and spiritual growth. In her book, I'm Too Young to Be This Old, Poppy offers an empathetic yet inspiring approach to an often serious time in a woman's life that she calls the reluctant passage. She's here today to encourage us that it's never too late to chase after your dreams. Poppy, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
I want to read a quote from your book to get us going. You say, in today's society, no woman is too old to go after her dreams or get involved in issues that matter deeply to her. Instead of cringing at the thought of being in the reluctant passage of midlife, we should boldly grasp our new identity as a more mature, improved model of our younger self, even if the packaging is slightly wrinkled and maybe a bit lumpy. I love that. But that's an exciting way to think about midlife. I think too often women give up on their dreams at midlife and they feel like they've got nothing to offer, especially if they've stayed home and raised a family for 20 years.
Well, that's true. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, was to inspire and motivate women to have a different perspective on themselves. That the first half of life, you know, is life development issues. And, you know, you go to school and maybe marry, have children, have a career, all those things. But at midlife is a good time to stop and assess. It's sort of like being on a mountain peak. And you want to look back and learn from the climb so far. From the hard things and the good things, know your strengths, know what you're not really drawn to, and look forward and say, okay, where am I now and where do I want to go with the second half of life?
Mm. What are some questions women wrestle with as they enter midlife, do you think?
Well, I think what you said is the best over. I mean, there's always those jokes, there used to be at least, about turning 40. Anymore, 40s, you know, still youth in our culture, because women are doing so much more now in their 50s, 60s, even 70s. You know, we just look around, there's so many examples of women just breaking all sorts of barriers in various ways, personally and professionally. So I think to recognize that that's a really outdated question, that the best is over. Now, true, there are things ahead that you have to be prepared for, because everybody's aging and our circumstances change as we age. It can depend on our health, on our relationships, on our finances, and so on. But nevertheless, to have a sense of anticipation, who am I now? Where can I go with my life? What would the Lord want me to do? Some sort of adventure, maybe. You hear of people going off to Africa and helping in orphanages, or helping, you know, with foster kids, or, you know, branching out in home-based businesses and so on. So I think the whole idea is to expand your horizons as you enter and go through the midlife passage, as opposed to shutting them down.
Yeah. You know, we can't stop aging, but we can control our responses to it, can't we?
Right, right. And that's key. How we think is key.
Okay, well, how about the person who's stuck and, you know, is kind of depressed about this whole aging piece? You know, maybe they need to look back and reflect and deal with some of the regrets maybe they've had. But how do they move forward? What are some first steps in moving forward?
Well, first of all, is to examine those issues that cause emotional discomfort, emotional pain, and to see if there's things that they need to do about it. Because I talk about that as, you know, midlife baggage. And I don't think anybody gets to midlife without some regrets. Maybe how they treated somebody, maybe what they said, maybe a poor choice in something that was quite significant. So I do think reflecting on where you've been and what might be troubling you, I'm a strong believer in praying over those things and seeking to listen to what the Holy Spirit brings forth. And then to deal with those, do you need to ask forgiveness of God or of another person? Do you need to make things right? Do you need to just accept that what was, was, and you can't change it, and to free yourself from that? So I think that's an essential part of being free and ready to move forward into midlife, because you're going to be miserable if you're dragging, you know, guilt from the past. And then I think to recognize that I have a second half of my life ahead of me. You know, in the past, women didn't live this long. We didn't have the opportunities that we have. The barriers are down about getting more education or starting a business or going and volunteering somewhere. You know, I mean, the world is open. And I think as Christians, we can certainly seek what the Lord wants us to do and look at our strengths, our spiritual gifts, where people have said, you know, that was a great job, you're really suited for that. Just start assessing who you are and trying to define, okay, so where do I go with who I am?
Yeah, I think you're right. We need to make an honest assessment of our lives, and that requires maybe grieving some losses along the way. I mean, I think women in particular kind of reflect on, you know, the typical questions. Was I a good mother? Was I a good wife? Yeah. What mistakes did I make? Because women tend to blame themselves. Well, if I'd just done that, or maybe I shouldn't have done this. Or so we have to kind of go back and look at those regrets and maybe finish unfinished business that we have. Forgiveness, like you said, all of that stuff. And once we've done that, then we have to get a sense of passion to reconnect again and reinvest our lives into a bigger purpose. Maybe that God's trying to tell, you know, in his story. And how are we going to fit into that?
Yes. I mean, you do. You can grieve. You can, you know, look back. You can deal with the things that need forgiving. And you know, it's almost like having a backpack on you, a heavy backpack. You need to get it off, and the Lord provides ways for that to happen. But it's essential, and then you can sort of pivot around and look ahead and, you know, and move forward. So that's a key thing. And I think if you don't, you're going to drown in regrets and in self-accusations, and you're going to put yourself in depression. You just have to say, okay, I've dealt with those failures. I'm not a you know, a terrible person. I did some things I wish I hadn't, or whatever the situation is. But I'm not going to let the past define the future. And I need to go forward, because those are years ahead for me that can be filled with joy and purpose and fulfillment.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, the cool thing is that we can choose about that stuff.
Yes.
You know, what's done is done, like you said.
Yes.
But
yeah,
we do have a choice in terms of how we move forward. And I think that's what women really need to get a grasp on. You talk about transition, stress, and resulting growth in the book. Can you explain that?
Yes. Well, midlife is a transition. Now, life, of course, is full of transitions. I mean, we transition from being you know, a child to an adult, from maybe being single to being married to being divorced and single or widowed. So life is full of transitions. But in the midlife passage, we have to recognize that, you know, what was normal for us is not normal anymore. Those children, say you were focused on children, those children are gone, and you can't wait to invest your life in grandchildren because that's just putting pressure on them, and it's causing you to be anxious. Your world needs to be widened. Like I said, expand your horizons, whether that's friendship or occupation or some volunteer capacity.
Oh, that's so important.
You need,
yeah.
You need to be moving ahead and letting the past be in the past, hopefully good memories. But recognize you're in a new place now, and there are fresh beginnings for your life.
Yeah, so if you don't, if you're placing all your hope in grandchildren or family members, and that's all that you have to define you, then you're going to be setting yourself up maybe for some unmet expectations, because even grandkids get old and want to play with their friends, or your children move and take the grandkids. It's,
there has
to be something more for you personally, your passion, your vision, what God's called you to do personally. Yes. I think you're so right on with that.
And especially to recognize, there's two things that I think of a lot. One is, I have one life to live. How do I want to live that? What do I want my life to amount to? Am I going to, as you said, place all my expectations in my family to provide my emotional needs and sense of purpose? Or am I going to say, you know, as a believer, Lord, you've called me to be yours. You've given me gifts. You've given me life experience. You've given me, you know, the desire to walk with you and to serve you. So show me. Show me where. Maybe it's in your church. You can help more. Or maybe it's getting a job in some different capacity. But it's really important that we, you know, we don't look to others, because much as you might have a great relationship, most women are going to be widowed. So you need to, you know, expand your circle of relationships.
Yeah, I wrote about that in my book, and I teach that to my clients. You know, I draw a pie of life for them, you know, like a circle. And usually when they come in for counseling, the presenting problem is taking most of the circle. And then as we kind of go along, I ask them to start considering, you know, how we can slice up the pie with other things, you know. What are your dreams? What are your passions? What are your goals? Sure, family's going to be a big part of it, but there has to be other things that you're investing yourself in, you know, for God's greater good, too.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we can lose sight of the role that God wants to play in our lives, that we are His, that He redeemed us at a great cost, and therefore we need to be thinking about, what does God want for my life, rather than what do I want and, you know, my family and my friends and my life to go along with no change and no pain. That's just not going to happen. All of us are going to go through change, and a lot of change is pain. And yet out of it comes that growth. You discover strengths and capabilities you never knew you had. And I think that's really important at midlife, to try things that maybe others are saying to you, you really should do this. That's how I got writing. I never thought about writing until three people in three different occasions said to me, when are you going to write what you teach? And, you know, it took me a year before I decided maybe that's the voice of the Lord. And, you know, so I've gone on to write several books and Bible studies. But sometimes other people see your gifting and are God's mouthpiece to you. So it's important to listen to them. And also, you know, God, this is the life you've given me. I only have one time around. How do you want me to invest it?
And, you know, I think so many times we feel like we want to hit the delete button on the difficult places of our lives, or the places in our lives that we have regrets. And yet those are a springboard for so much more, for wisdom and growth and what we've learned. And God can use that in such a powerful way, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others, as we're willing to tell our stories and be part of His greater story.
Oh, absolutely. And I think to sit and reflect, asking God for wisdom, and maybe with a journal or a notebook, and just reflect, what did I learn from that? And I talk about that, you know, give several stories of different women in my book who did that, who reflected and assessed, what did I learn about myself, about how to handle things in the future, and about God's role in my life and so on. So I think to be a wise woman as we get older, we need to reflect. We need to think and let those painful emotions come and explore them. You know, what brought this about and how could I have handled it and how did God get me through this? What do I have to share with someone else?
Yeah. So then how do we value ourselves as women and grow inwardly as we get older, as we wrestle with some of this stuff? Because I think often people lose that sense of acceptance of themselves or valuing themselves, maybe because of mistakes they've made or whatever they've done, whatever they're believing about themselves.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, I have a series called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. And I think all of us who do this kind of work know that our thinking is absolutely key to whether we stay stuck or we go forward. And so I think for a woman who's feeling that, you know, she's made these mistakes, she can't go forward, she needs to get back into Scripture. In fact, I was just writing some thoughts this morning about what does God promise me or any of us, and I just wrote down some things. He works all things together for our good. He is for me. He loves and cherishes me. He calls me to serve him. He calls me to trust in his sovereign care and purposes for my life. Now, that's just a few things that came to my mind about half an hour ago as I was reading the Word. But that's what we have to do. We have to go back to, what do I believe? Do I know the Scriptures? Do I know what God says about me? And am I believing that, or am I believing my, you know, old tapes, negative tapes that tear me down?
Yeah. What you're saying is we have to set the mind. Because if we don't set our mind, it's going to be set for us.
Yeah, and Paul says, be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The other thing that's a big deal usually around midlife is marriage, the marriage piece. And sometimes marriages need some renewing in midlife. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, it's true. You know, it's very easy to have been maybe so child-focused that, you know, you haven't really enjoyed each other as a couple. You know, maybe you no longer sort of ruffle his hair if he has any, or you don't put your arm around him when he's, you know, maybe at the kitchen counter or something.
If you can still get it around him.
Yeah, right. Or you don't, you know, have a quick kiss or a quick cuddle and so on. And so your marriage is sort of two strangers, like two pieces of furniture in the same room. And you know, that's not healthy. That's not good, particularly if you want to have a more vibrant second half of life. So I think there's a lot to be said to bringing in more affection, physical affection. And if you don't feel that, you again have to deal with those things, I think, in prayer, asking the Lord to give you renewed love and care for the person you married. But midlife is a time where women assess, and maybe men do too, of course, because of the divorce rate after 20, 30 years. It's quite high. And I think that gives evidence of the fact that the marriage was neglected. Or as a woman, maybe you neglected to keep growing like your husband, you know, having new interests and being a more interesting partner in your home.
That's a great point. Yeah, if one person's growing, the other person's stagnant, that can really cause a divide.
It does, because, you know, the husband could be bored with his wife.
Right.
And then he's working alongside, you know, bright, capable women who maybe share his interest in maybe their professional area or interest in something else. But she's alive, she's fun, she's friendly, and she's smart, and probably has, you know, done work on herself to keep healthy and strong. And then he comes home to a wife who, you know, has not made those efforts. And I'm not saying every wife can be, you know, 130 pounds and you know, glamorous, but we can do what we're able to do and be the kind of person our husband wants to be with.
So definitely this is an area where people need to refocus, set some new goals, try to stir some new passions and, you know, really get to know their spouse again, you know, spend time.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to know someone. You're not going to rekindle anything if you're not spending some time.
For many couples, you know, you just have to sit down with your calendars and say, okay, let's take a day or an overnight trip somewhere but make time for yourself.
So how do people find their passion, Poppy? You talk about asking yourself, what stirs your heart? Mm-hmm. And once we look at this, we need to narrow our focus a bit, don't we? How do we do that? I mean, what questions would be helpful for women to be asking themselves in midlife about, what am I passionate about and how can I move forward in that passion?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, I give several exercises, which I think are very helpful. And some of it, again, is that assessment, mm-hmm. because you're sort of pivoting in midlife from who you were and all the things that have been embedded in your life, and then you want to assess that, pivot, and put that into a fresh framework, if you will. So I think looking back and asking yourself, where have I felt successful? Where have people affirmed me? Where have I had joy? What stirs me in maybe issues today in our culture? Or, you know, it can be, there's so many things out there that can stir us up, and we want to maybe have more time to be involved. And, you know, do you want to work in some political way? Do you want to help children in some way? Do you want to invest in teen moms? Do you want to achieve academic goals? I mean, in midlife, I ended up going to seminary and, you know, getting my master's in spiritual formation and direction.
Wow.
And I wrote these books and Bible studies and so on. So I think it's midlife is that seedbed for all sorts of new things that that you'll discover you're able to do, but you have to assess, you know, what's in my heart? What would I like to do? What if people affirm me as doing well?
Yeah, that'll show, you know, kind of where am I gifted and what am I excited about in life?
Yes, yeah, that's a good way to put it. What am I excited about? Mm-hmm. You know, you might be feeling, oh, well, you know, I'm too tired to be excited. I think you need to start praying about it and looking to see what tugs your heart. Are there things that you feel outraged about? And then you know, explore. Is there some way that I can put my passion and my concern into action?
Yes. And, you know, everybody doesn't have to, I mean, like you and I, we went back to school. I mean, I worked my tail off and it was hard. But, you know, everybody doesn't have to do that. But everybody can do something.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, don't stand and compare with other people.
Right.
Because we're always going to find somebody way out there, a trailblazer, and we think, I can't do that, I'm not that, my circumstances are such I would never have the time, the money, the health, the energy to do that. So it's really important to just look at yourself, pray about it, and ask God to show you what he sees in you that you could develop.
Mm-hmm. What do we need to do then to set some goals? Once we've kind of anchored ourselves into what we're passionate or excited about, where do we go from there? How do we set some goals?
You've got the foundation, which is assessing yourself, and there's many helps in the book to do that so that you end up with, you know, a kind of statement, you know, my purpose or my passion or my goal is this. And then I think you just have to be open to see what doors are open to you. I mean, some things you can go after, such as I'm deciding I'm going to go to school or whatever, or join this ministry. But some things I think God brings along in his sovereign purposes. For instance, when I finished teaching in Bible Study Fellowship, I didn't know what I was to do. I mean, I knew that, you know, that I wanted to continue serving the Lord, but I had no idea how or where. And a short while later, I noticed an appeal for volunteers to be trained to work in a domestic violence shelter. And my heart just was tugged by that. I care about women in emotional pain. And so I went, and I spent 2 years after my training as a volunteer there. And that was a huge part of what God wanted me to do, even though I didn't know it. Because now I speak on that in the Christian community as part of what I speak on. So, you know, it was. I really believe that God put that peace in my life because he knew that as a speaker and an author, I was going to be a mouthpiece to women struggling with those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sometimes it's just that tug. It's not necessarily that you've set the goal, but the Lord knows where he wants to take you.
Yeah, absolutely. So trusting in him. But, right. You know, then there's this other piece about balance, and that's something I struggle with, and I'm sure you must too, as a busy woman in midlife doing all this stuff. How do we balance all this stuff out with the people who do need us? Like, so that your husband doesn't feel like he's taking a back seat, or your kids feel like they're not, you know, getting enough of your time or attention.
Yeah, yeah. I think that a lot of that depends on your personality. Some people are drivers, as you know, they're type A's, mm-hmm. they're overachievers maybe, they're perfectionists, they're very goal-oriented. And others are more like me. I'm actually a type B, more laid back, and I feel like I'm masquerading as a type A more recently. But my default position is just let me sit down with a good book and I'm happy. You know, but I know, I think, again, it's monitoring ourselves. What do we need to feel alive and stimulated and fulfilled? But also, what are my responsibilities as maybe a wife, a mother, a relative, that kind of thing? So I do think, again, it's that assessment piece of reflecting on you know, what do I need to have the energy? What do I need to be re-energized? Just keep in mind, what in the end is really important?
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's so important.
Is it that you achieved this, you got this degree, or you wrote this many books, or you speak here or there? Is that really what the Lord is all about? I don't think so. I think it's about our heart being stayed on him and listening to him and caring about those that he's brought into our lives.
Yeah, I think it's asking ourselves, what's our legacy going to be?
Right.
You know, it's all part of our legacy. It's great to do all this stuff, but if we've missed out on the relationships or those that are most important to us,
yes.
The vineyard God's
yes.
given us, you know, to tend,
yes.
you know, have we really been successful? Poppy, thanks so much for being our guest today. I hope you'll come back again and talk about a different topic.
Thank you. I'd love to do that.
Okay. You have a great
okay.
day. God
thanks.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at ritaschulte.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.